Bishop Tulani, thank you so much for joining us online for this conversation. I believe you are still in Luxembourg, where you've been attending the conference, or rather the webinar, a seminar between the Council of the European Bishops Conference and the Symposium of Episcopal Conferences of Africa and Madagascar. Talk to us about this seminar. I know it's about synodality, but give us more details. First of all, how are you?
Hello, Sheila. No, I'm well, thank you. It's been quite a busy week, but also a fruitful one here in Luxembourg. And of course, it's really hot and humid. So they say it's unusually hot for this time of the year. They were sort of expecting this heat much later, but it came with us. So yeah, otherwise, no, I'm keeping well, thank you.
All right, so talk to us about this seminar.
It takes place almost every 2 years between the African Episcopal Conferences and those of Europe. And so this time we are here in Luxembourg, and maybe let me just say something briefly about it, because this is a very special place, and maybe many of them do not know where Luxembourg is. It is, of course, in Europe, a very small country, city-state, and then, of course, people can Google it and find out more about it. It's one of the richest countries in the world, that specializes especially in finances, a very cosmopolitan place where actually the majority of the people perhaps working here are actually foreigners, and who move in, perhaps some of them just in the morning, and then the city almost empties in the afternoon as they go back to their neighboring countries such as Belgium, Germany, France, and so forth. So we started actually by joining the local community, by joining His Eminence Cardinal Jean-Claude Horelich, because this is his archdiocese. And so he, Luxembourg, together with the neighboring countries, including also the ones that I've mentioned, but also in addition, the Netherlands, were celebrating Saint Willibrod, who actually evangelized this part of the world. So we joined in, and that was really beautiful. It's almost like a day and a half of celebrations for this part of the world. And yes, so we gathered here and then to reflect as the two continents, and the theme was evangelization and synodality, continental pathways. So in some way, it was a continuation of the previous meeting that took place in Nairobi, but also, let's say, now focusing on the implementation phase. Where are we as, Episcopal conferences in our two continents as far as the implementation of synodality is concerned? And so then there were reports that were given by various speakers from both conferences. And while we were doing so, we were also trying to find, what are the common themes that perhaps are already emerging in our continents, and also how can we better collaborate when it comes to not only the implementation of synodality, but the whole area of, let's say, evangelization. What is it that we can do together as the two continents?
Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Ben. But let's talk more about those. What are the common practices that the two continents have? And what can you do together? Let's talk about that. What emerged during this meeting with regards to those?
Let me just say, okay, one is of course, that it was clear that in both continents, synodality has been embraced. Of course, to varying degrees, depending where one is. If you look at Europe, of course, there's also quite a difference at times when it comes to Western Europe and Eastern Europe. Same also when it comes to Africa itself. You have some of the areas, for instance, we had a bishop, archbishop from Morocco representing more, let's say, the North Africa. Then we had some from West Africa, of course, others also from East Africa, and I coming from Southern Africa. So One cannot just simply use the same blanket statements. But having said that, it was clear that, you know, for the most part, synodality has been embraced in our continent. There are challenges, though, that still remain. One of them is it surrounds, let's say, the clergy, specifically the priests. In some places in both continents do feel that they were left out right from the beginning, you know, when the whole process started. And so we talked about that and also the need to do more to bring them on board, because then the success of the implementation of synodality also depends on them or rests with them. The other aspect is, of course, the whole area of, you know, the formation that also needs to accompany the whole process of synodality, especially when it comes to the laity. Also to ensure that there is also greater participation of the laity in the life of the church, not just the life, not just church attendance, but specifically also when it comes to those participatory bodies, decision-making, let's say, processes and bodies that we have in the church. We spoke also about, you know, when it comes to evangelization, some of the shared experiences, for instance, migration, where we see lots of, let's say, people from African nations coming to Europe, but also even within Europe itself. And just like also in Africa itself, there's lots of movement of people. How do we care for those? How do we care for them? How do we look after them? Issues of conflicts and wars, both continents are faced with that challenge. The whole area of, let's say, secularization, especially in most parts of Europe, not everywhere, but most parts of Europe. And then in Africa, you have challenges such as the rise of the mushrooming of many Pentecostal churches, these prosperity gospel and so forth. So there are quite a number of, let's say, then issues that that we shared, that we talked about. But even though there are so many challenges, whether it's unemployment, you know, challenges when it comes to the youth and so forth, we also see so many signs of hope. We had today, for instance, reports when we're looking at evangelization in African context as well as the European context. For instance, that in Europe, actually, there's been a high number of people joining the Catholic Church, especially young people, which is quite interesting. And some of these things, this good news, they actually not reported on, let's say, on the media. So we might not know about this. So there's so much of there's so many people who are searching for God, and they then come to the church looking for hope, looking for affirmation, looking for a place they can call home, where they feel like they belong, and therefore the church does offer that. So that's one of the signs of hope. Like also, if you look at Africa, the church is vibrant, the church is young, because we just have so many young people, let's say, on the continent. But also, of course, at the same time, we need also to find ways, or find even better ways, how to accompany them, those young people, so that they don't fall off the way. You know, so more also needs to be done in terms of in terms of that. But as I was saying, yes, although there are challenges and then many challenges, but there are also so many signs of hope, growth.
Any lessons that you may have learned during this week concerning synodality, seeing that you were sharing, you were learning from each other, what would you say you can take away from that meeting that can be workable, for lack of a better word, in Southern Africa, for example?
One of the lessons is of course, as we were sharing, it also became apparent that although there is a timetable that is quite fixed in terms of when we're supposed to have done what by which month and or year, but we actually do realize that this is a process and it will take time. That we will not have done everything come 2028, even though that is like the cutoff date, when then there will be this Universal Assembly taking place in Rome. So we do need to be patient, because again, one cannot really set timetable for the Holy Spirit. So there was also lots of, let's say, sharing also around that. That yes, of course, we have to do certain things by, you know, a particular date, because then we also need to realize that synodality is much more than, let's say, structures. It's easy to set up structures or to renew them, but it's at the very heart of it is actually about conversion, and this takes time. So we also need to keep that in mind. There were some of the, let's say, the experiences therefore that were shared were about, okay, how are they dealing, for instance, with issues of you know, the diverse languages that are used in Europe. And we also shared, let's say, our own experiences. If you take, let's say, for instance, in Southern Africa, we have so many languages. In each diocese, usually, you use three or more languages. And so we also shared our own experience. How do we, you know, what is it that we do, therefore, to cater for people of the various languages, you know, translating the documents into the various languages. But even, let's say, with the original one, to simplify it, a number of Episcopal conferences also in Europe have had to do that, to simplify it, to shorten it, or summarize it. So there were many of those, let's say, commonalities. They were very much interested also to hear about our own experience of setting up the, you know, of course, the diocesan synod teams and their compositions. Many of them have already done so. But also, let's say, some of our own experiences with our national or episcopal conference, whatever teams, and what they are busying themselves with. So these are some of the, let's say, then the experiences that that we shared.
Thank you so much for having this conversation with us. It sounds like it was a very fruitful meeting experience between the two continents. And of course, you also got to hear the experience from the other regions within Africa. How would you say a synodality is being implemented throughout Africa based on the representatives of the different regions?
No, I would say that it's general. I mean, it's been well received and well embraced. And that also there is now, I think, also a greater appreciation of what synodality is about, or the end result, or what is hoped for, because it's actually a way or a means of, let's say, evangelization. So that's why even the topic was actually is about that, evangelization and synodality. We also said, or we asked also, let's say, the cardinals, there were three cardinals that were present, Cardinal Holyrich from here, Cardinal Fridolin of Kinshasa, and Cardinal Ladislav Nemeth, so who also shared their own personal experiences with the consistory that was called for by Pope Leo, the very first one. And now next month in June, they will meet again. And that, as you recall, there were four topics that he presented to them. And so, but then they could only deal with two. And actually, the two that they dealt with were exactly these, you know, evangelization and synodality. So that these actually do go together. So even therefore, with the sharing, let's say, from around, let's say, the various regions in Africa, one sees clearly that there is that enthusiasm. It's not, of course, that everyone was positive about it, and because there were those who thought that, well, this was just an intuition or a project of Pope Francis. But more and more people do realize that this was part of the agenda that was actually set by, you know, let's say, the cardinals, as they share in the general congregations right before the conclave takes place. And these were some of the discussions also that took in Council of Nine. Our two of the three cardinals were present. They were actually of the Council of Nine, Holyrich and Cardinal Hambogo. So, I got therefore that sense that people now begin to see perhaps more clearly exactly what let's say synodality is about, instead of perhaps, let's say, dismissing it or being threatened by it, or even being or mistakenly thinking that it's going to solve all our challenges. Yeah, we also spend a great deal of time also talking about that. If you remember, of course, that as you know, that the number of missionaries present, you know, African missionaries present in Europe, just like also they have others from Asia, from Latin America, and so forth. So we also spend quite a bit of time talking about that, some of the best practices that we could, let's say, adopt. also realizing the, you know, taking into account also some of the challenges that either the receiving church or the sending church experiences when it comes to this exchange of gifts. There was also a realization or an affirmation that actually there's a lot that we can also learn from some of the missionary congregations that are going through similar process, if you like, who are reviving some of their older communities in Europe, using or by sending, you know, African members to those places. And so the some of those lessons are, of course, the need for better screening or discernment before anyone is sent, the need for proper formation and preparation for the ones who will be sent, but also for the community that is going to receive them, and the need for accompaniment once they are there. So that was also part of it. And also to be to say that we need to discourage anyone or never to accept anyone who comes forward, or how did we put it? Those who are self-missioned, that any of these exchanges must be official. That is, it must be diocese to diocese, bishop to bishop, instead of some maybe just individual who perhaps yeah, pick and choose where they would love to go and minister. So, and also we look at, we also touch on issues like some of these chaplaincies. If you have, for instance, a group of, let's take, Nigerians, and maybe finding themselves as quite a big group, for instance, let's say in London. And how do you, let's say, cater for them in terms of, let's say, ministry? So these are some of the issues that we're talking about. But I also wanted to mention that it wasn't just, when it comes to that, it's not only about Africa and Europe or Europe to Africa, but also even within the African continent itself. One of the groups that we went into when we did group work, conversation in spirit, there's a lot that was discussed also about areas such as, you know, Morocco and, you know, some places in North Africa where most of the missionaries who are actually serving there are of European descent, and almost all of them are actually religious, and yet their religious communities are also present in sub-Saharan Africa. So the question is, what is being done to get, let's say, the fellow Africans to minister in those regions instead of only relying on the European ones, who are now perhaps fewer in number and are are usually elderly and so forth. So those are some of the issues that were discussed. But all what was discussed, we agreed that both secretariat need to take this up, so that then we can have further, let's say, discussions even now on episcopal conferences, how to better share resources, realizing that it is one mission.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. And we wish you all of the best as you prepare to travel back to South Africa. Any last remarks?
Well, they are looking for a place that will host the seminar in 2028. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm going to say. Okay. But anyway, it will be in Africa this time, as the last one was in Nairobi. And then this one was here in Europe, in Luxembourg. So the next one will be in one of the African countries. But we'll hear more. Because, again, they need to look at the calendars, knowing that 2028 will be quite packed. But everyone agreed that it will be important to meet before the Rome meeting in September, 2028. Yeah.
We'll keep an eye on that and see what transpires as the months go, as the years go leading up to 2028. Once again, thank you so much for your time, Bishop Tulang.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Shayla.